You had a patient, a 61-year-old man with Merkel cell. What happened there?
So recently I had a patient who presented to see me, and he noted that really over a very short period of time, only a few weeks, he had had a bump just above his left elbow, which had gone from being something that he noticed to being the size of like a tennis ball. It really had just dramatically and rapidly increased in size. And so that lesion was biopsied and came back showing Merkel cell carcinoma. We then went forward and did a PET scan because of the size of this lesion and saw axillary lymphadenopathy as well. And so I had a discussion because the standard of care obviously would be to try to resect these lesions in the local and in the regional lymph node basin. However, the surgeon said, you know, this is a very aggressive disease. It's bulky. I'm not totally sure I'm going to be able to get it. So in this patient, we talked about using immunotherapy, but because of how fast the cancer was growing, we actually chose to use platinum-based chemotherapy. And we gave the patient three cycles, actually, of cisplatin plus etoposide and saw a dramatic shrinkage of the tumor. So the tumor on his elbow nearly resolved, and the palpable lymphadenopathy actually decreased quite a bit as well. So the patient was then able to actually transition to go to the operating room and had wide local excision above the elbow as well as axillary completion lymph node dissection. Interestingly, whereas on the elbow there was no residual disease, in the axilla there still actually was a deep-seated lymph node mass. And so given that, we actually went forward with adjuvant radiotherapy both to the arm and to the axilla, which is importantly a standard of care in the adjuvant setting to use radiation. So we then continued to follow the patient forward. We didn't give him more chemotherapy because chemotherapy has not been associated with an overall survival advantage in the adjuvant setting, but continued to watch. And unfortunately, fairly quickly, within 6 months, he had developed abdominal discomfort, and restaging imaging now already showed liver metastases and omental caking. And so again, the question was what to do. And in discussion about the available options, we said, well, there's this benefit to PD-1, PD-L1. So we should go forward and use avelumab as a frontline therapy. So we started avelumab, and I think the patient got two doses. But unfortunately, his symptoms actually continued to accelerate with worsening abdominal pain and weight loss. And he got hospitalized. And when he was discharged, we again had further conversation. It really wasn't clear that we'd given him a real shot at immunotherapy. He'd only gotten a few doses, but it was just clinically obvious that we couldn't go further down that route. So we again switched back to cisplatin plus etoposide chemotherapy, and he had a marked improvement in his symptoms of abdominal discomfort. He was able to eat, and we actually saw after two cycles and then again after four, dramatic reduction in his overall tumor burden. So again, then at that point, we said, okay, why don't we give immunotherapy a try again? Now we're in a lower disease volume setting. Symptoms are better. So we reinitiated avelumab at that point, and actually, he's still in a stable disease situation, but he's now gone more than 6 months on that therapy and seems to be tolerating that quite well. So I think that this really emphasizes how clinical practice is not what we do in clinical trials, and really, we manage the patient that's in front of us, but we can use the concepts that have been taken from randomized phase three trials and try to incorporate that into the management of our individual patients. So with this patient, you know, my priority was to get him to immunotherapy over time, but it took a couple of shots on goal in order to do that. We had to debulk him and get him into a clinical situation where we thought the immunotherapy would have a reasonable shot. And so far, that has been an effective strategy.
And this case kind of reinforces what you're saying about it being an aggressive disease. I'm kind of curious, if you look at Ki-67 or mitotic rate or whatever, what do you see?
So similar to small cell lung cancer, you see very high rates of Ki-67 positive cancer cells in Merkel cell carcinoma, especially in the metastatic setting. When you resect, if you get resections of these lesions from lymph nodes or other places, you really just see sheets of these neuroendocrine cells that are looking quite dangerous and very, very aggressive.
Fascinating.